Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Well, that's our cue. It's Tuesday night with Admirable Friends.
Yes. Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday night. Great topic tonight, Carol.
It's a very interesting, it's going to be a great topic, yes.
G squared.
Well, it's
greed and generosity.
Yes.
Something we can all relate to. And we got two wonderful guests on our show.
We do. We're really lucky that we...
Why don't you introduce them?
Well, we have Gabby, who's our return guest. Gabby's been on before, so... Hello, Gabby.
Hello.
She's been away for a couple of weeks, though.
She has. So we keep her so that we build up that kind of excitement so that when she's on, everybody, you know...
Well, we brought her on for generosity today.
Races to the radio to hear Gabby talk.
That's not what she said beforehand, though. She didn't bring her on for generosity. Would you say you brought John for greed?
Yeah.
And
we're greedy to have a generous person here. Go ahead.
And then we also have a new admirable friend on tonight, Kate. So welcome, Kate.
Hello.
And Kate's where Gabby was a few shows ago, because Kate's like...
The choo-choo train just
came. Yeah, she doesn't know how to take this, and it's like working without a net. We could see it all going on here, but, you know.
Now, somehow, I don't think she's going to be lost for words.
No, and I know that
get her wound up.
Yeah. Oh, she'll have fun.
That's why we selected her.
Yeah.
She practices with the mind qualities with us, and like it's Kate, once in a while you make it down to Fort Worth meditate.
Well, I can.
You can. And a great contributor when she comes. Got a little bit of Raja over in Dallas. Carol, I'm going to put you on the spot. And why don't we start with generosities?
Gratitudes.
No, gratitudes. I'm sorry.
Well, my gratitude tonight is for our youngest son, Aaron. And I'll just briefly say he's in graduate school and he happens to be at the same university I'm at. And so you would think that being on the campus, we would get to see each other, meet for lunch and everything, but that's not the case. So he's been so busy with graduate work and working and home life and things like that, that I said to myself today that the only way I could go to see him was to go to his office hours, like his students do. So I showed up at his door with a sandwich during lunch hour and just... I walked in and he was stricken. And so he said to me, well, I'm just going out. I'm going to the gym. I'll walk out with you. So, I mean, at that point, it was sounded like he intended to, we'll walk out together and that would be the end of our meeting. And then as we were walking down, he said to me, you know what? He said, I don't have to go to the gym. Let's sit down and have lunch together. And so we pulled up two chairs together and we sat down and had lunch. And that to me was just spoke volume. So I was really grateful that he just took the time to spend time with me.
Oh.
So I thought that was really sweet. So I appreciated that. And
the lesson learned would be it's sometimes worth taking the time, right?
It is.
For the most important things.
I did. It was just a really nice result. So I thought that was really nice.
Gabby or Kate, you want to try some gratitudes before we get started?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this one was an appreciation that turned into a gratitude.
Okay, that's great.
So
my she is differentiating between appreciation and gratitude. For a minute, appreciations are things that we are, feelings for things or incidents that you've benefited from, versus the gratitude is recognizing the kind actions of others. Okay, so the appreciation is.
So last weekend, my husband and I were going to the drive-thru of a coffee shop to grab a coffee.
Yeah.
And we went, you know, to pay. And she says, oh, don't worry, the guy, and the person in front of you paid for you.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, isn't that so nice? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm appreciative for the drink, for the coffee, and, you know, early Saturday morning before the soccer game. But I was more grateful for the action, because it really just, you know, reset me to think, you know, he's thinking of somebody else, making somebody else's day.
Yeah.
So then we paid it forward, and we were able to give that to somebody else, and he was able to give that to us.
I'll tell you what, Gabby, I got to tell you, I think you got to take that out of the appreciation column, put that in the gratitude.
Really?
Column. Well, look at, I mean, just, you're recognizing the kind action of others. Right? So clearly it was an action. And the reason why we separated on an action basis is because we're trying to learn from what we're grateful for. So you said you paid it forward.
Yes.
So you learn from the action.
Absolutely.
So it's, and not only is her story great, it also is a perfect entree into our new definition of gift that we're going to introduce tonight.
Oh, yes.
No conditions associated with that. Right? He gave it to you without any conditions.
Without any conditions.
He or she. So, wow.
That's really nice.
That's nice.
Does Kate want to take a step?
Sure. I have gratitude for my friend Katie. My friend Katie is how I first found the Strength Finders. I guess we found it together, actually. And we have very complementary strengths in the sense that we have very little crossover. And when looking through tonight's lesson with generosity, Katie kept coming to mind as somebody who is always very giving to help me work through life's challenges, as a friend that I can bounce ideas off of, and often asks me to, rather than giving me the answer, ask me the question so that I find the answer myself, which is really precisely what I need. So I have a lot of gratitude that she's a part of my life.
Yeah, and those are actions that you can definitely learn from. And obviously respect. Terrific. My gratitude comes on the backdrop of last week's show on persistence and effort. And I got a chance to reflect on the whole concept of effort and really kind of look back to my childhood and want to express gratitude towards for my mom. If there's one thing that I'm very grateful for is the level of work ethic that that she's always had, and I've learned quite a bit from that. Inspired. It's you know, my mom, Carolyn. She's
well. She still has that level of work ethic. I mean, she's in her late 80s, and
yeah.
She still has a very strong work ethic.
Extremely persistent, and just looking back, I said, my God, that's something that I'm grateful to have had inspired me from a very young age.
It is very inspiring.
So,
cool.
In any case, well, let's get into the body of the show. Before we do the interview questions, let's kind of review. Those of you that have your hand up, you can take it out. If you don't, you can download it at bbsradio.com/admirablefriends or go to admirablefriends.org and hit the curriculum button and download it there. And alternatively, tonight, I recognize you can chat at any time during the show. In fact, we had a chat, and Gabby, I think it's from your husband, because he chatted in, yeah, and the guy behind the order bought the whole menu. So, do you have to pay for it?
Yes, he didn't order the whole menu. He's being silly.
So, In any case, bbsradio.com, admirable friends, chat away, and we'll recognize those chats as we get through our discussion. Given the fact, Carol, that we've got three guests, you're going to play the guest role tonight, or am I going to play the guest role?
I can play the guest role.
Okay.
But you can chime in.
Yeah, I like being the interviewer. There's no risk in doing that.
Oh.
No, I will chime in. But in any case, with three people, I think we're going to encourage the text tonight versus any calls coming in.
I think that would be best.
So let's get to this definition of generosity.
Well, generosity is now part of the letting go qualities.
It's the first one, right? Of the letting
it
go.
Is. It is the first one. Whereas we just got through with the authenticity, virtue, and persistence, which were part of the truth qualities. Generosity is the first one of the letting go qualities.
Anybody want to take a stab, even our guests, as to why it would be a letting go quality? Generosity, why is that letting go? Why was it characterized as letting go? It's an interesting kind of paradox. Anybody want to take a crack at that?
Well, you're not getting back anything.
So you're letting go of a gift. Excellent.
So the definition is the results of repeatedly giving without expecting in return raises the level of gratitude.
Right. So gratitude and generosity are kind of an image of each other, right? When we're grateful for someone else's generosity towards ourselves. But in this particular definition, we're saying the results of repeatedly giving without expecting in return. And let's go down to the actual definition of a gift, which is under number two. An expanded definition of a gift is a tangible gift or a thought, word, or action, which a thought, word, or action really gets into the intangible side, right? So a tangible or an intangible gift, thought, word, or action, without any sense of obligation, an expression of complete freedom of choice that brings about fruitful results. The expression of complete freedom of choice, that's an interesting aspect or dimension to this definition. Inasmuch as we're really recognizing that when we give, it's coming from a position of our choice to give, right? So again, it's a recognition of that freedom of choice, which really what the whole mind quality is about is expanding that whole belief and conviction in our ability to choose and our decisions, isn't it? So when repeated, this type of behavior leads to the virtue of generosity. So again, generosity is a sum total of giving, which we've now got Carol as an unconditional gift. We started talking before the show, very much unlike what we're used to as giving, isn't it, folks? Right. Where do you see it, Carol? Normal giving.
Where do I see normal giving?
Normal giving in our society is what?
Well, looking, you know, quid pro quo, something for something, usually the exchange rate.
So we're going to call that an economy of exchange.
Yes.
And of course, there's practical reasons for giving in an economy of exchange, but we want to come up and introduce a whole new concept of a gift, it being an unconditional gift without anything expecting in return. An interesting kind of trip down memory lane when we think about giving and we think about the origins in our society where it all comes. When we're young, we're really dependent, aren't we, when we're children, on our parents. So I guess our first experience with giving is on the receiving end. We're very dependent on what our parents have to give us, and so we learn to receive. And as we age, we get we're taught more subtle levels of entitlement. For example, some parents give us a bottle at the first sign of our discomfort, and others examine the discomfort and try to discern what else could be wrong. I guess right there, depending on your parenting, if there's some discerning going on with a parent, you might not be so quick to receive. You're learning how to delay gratification, huh?
Well, I kind of like the phrase self-pacify.
Okay. What do you mean by that, huh?
I think that would be a great gift as a parent to teach a child, is not expecting the resultant to be immediate, sort of having that space to delay so that they could get their self-pacification so they can do it themselves and not be dependent on the gift to satisfy the need.
I see. And in particular, self-pedestal, I like the term because I guess it implies that as a child we would begin learning to be comfortable in our own skin and in our own bodies without having to be shoved a bottle every moment. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the essence of the mind quality, isn't it? I mean, as we're getting through the adult stage now, we're looking back on our lives and trying to develop these mind qualities, which essentially are trying to make us more secure in our inner being. So somewhere along the line, we've been entitled. Has anybody got a problem with us looking that we lived an entitled life? I'm going to throw that out there. I see blank face. You guys don't feel like you're somewhat entitled?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely feel that we're entitled and we're ashamed
okay,
of it.
Okay,
bingo!
We're
the reason we're not saying anything is because it feels wrong to have that
excellent,
feeling of entitlement.
Excellent.
Well, and not also,
makes
like
you
said,
good.
Ourselves, but we've spilled it over into our children. So it's
oh,
now we're growing.
The floodgates are open.
You know, now we're building little entitled little people.
Interesting. Look at the two of you. We may not even have to go to the interview here. This is what I wanted to have happen.
This is that free form. Look out.
Okay, so you guys see it the way I do it, that we have been given everything, and we appreciate very little. Who gave me that YouTube? Who posted that on YouTube, on our Facebook thing, that C.K. Lewis? Did you see that on the Facebook page?
I saw that.
It was called Everybody. We got everything, and everybody's pissed off.
Yeah,
everybody's
exactly.
Upset. It was terrific.
It was fantastic.
The example was, he said, can't believe I was near this guy. We're on the airplane, and all of a sudden now on the airplane, you got high-speed internet. And the guy tells me to open up the PC, and there I am surfing on the internet. It's like, this is, wow, I'm up here 40,000 feet, you know, listening to YouTube videos, blah, blah, blah. So all of a sudden, the announcement comes over the airplane saying, I'm sorry, but the internet's down. Guy next to him, next to C.K. Lewis, shuts his PC down and goes, well, what the hell about this? You know, what's... Because C.K. Lewis turns around and says...
You're on a plane.
Yeah, you're on a plane. And how is it that we all of a sudden feel entitled to something we didn't know existed 20 seconds ago? In other words, we just got announced that this new functionality is there called Internet Online, and we're upset because we lose it. So, I mean... He did speak to the very obvious that we've got so many luxuries here in America, and we just—it just never seems to be enough, does it? And Gabby, you think we've turned it over to our kids? Yeah.
I think I have.
Well.
You care?
Yes. I mean, sure.
Where do we go with that?
Start with the mind qualities at an early age.
But I would say it really has to start with us, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Because if we all of a sudden don't straighten our act out, these kids are going to see right through that hypocrisy if they don't already see through it. Okay, any thoughts for you on this?
Well, I think that all leads to a bigger question of civil unrest, and I think that's a bigger issue of wanting to have meaning in life if everything is such instant gratification. Then what is the big deal? Because everything, if you don't have gratitude for the little things, then nothing's a big thing.
Mm. Interesting. It's a bit. And you mentioned you delay. It was kind of interesting the insight you said. The reason you delayed the answer is almost what you felt. sheepish admitting that.
Oh, definitely.
Tell me about that. What does that feel like to you?
I think that we all know that we should be grateful for, I mean, we talk about how just coming up with a list of gratitudes, it seems hard when you sit down and you think, what am I grateful for? There's so many things to be grateful for, and yet we don't see the obvious things in front of our face. So, you know, we don't see that our health and our family and
the food on our plate.
Exactly.
What people had to be... what people had to go through to get that food on.
Right.
The air conditioning. We don't even know how electricity gets to our house. We just consume it.
But we'll jump to the things that are wrong. We'll jump to the traffic, and we'll jump to the pundits on TV and things like that that get us...
jacked.
Right, and forget the the obvious.
Yeah. And they really play upon that, don't they? They know that they can really jack us up with what's wrong and what should we be entitled to and what should we be expecting from our elected officers. And yeah. Carol, what's your thought about this whole lack of gratitude and entitlement society that we live in?
Well, I think we've been desensitized. I think, like Gabby said earlier and Kate alluded to, I think that we've gotten so out of touch of just being appreciative and seeing the little things that it's like now it's going to be some big over-the-top thing in order for you to recognize it. When there's little kindnesses and acts of generosity going on every second, just...
that we have a hard time recognizing.
Absolutely.
Because we're spending so much time wanting more and conditioned to want more and more and more. That's an interesting... But I guess by talking about it and being honest about it and looking at the cause and effect of it, it's kind of a healthy sense of shame. Yeah? What do you think? Or do you guys feel dirty thinking about it?
No, I think it refocuses you to kind of look a little deeper. You know, why am I shameful? Why do I feel this way? What can I do to change? What actions can I do?
Interesting. How about you, Kate? What do you feel about it?
I think it's a really important thing to center yourself and recognize. I know a lot of people say when something, for example, when something tragic happens, you miss the little things. It's not that you just, you know, you want the quiet morning of eating oatmeal and, you know, your kids fighting with each other or the sitting in traffic. And those are the things you miss when things go really wrong. But when those things are happening, you don't realize to be grateful for every moment. I recently saw an idea of somebody who did a photo journal of just what your a week in life. Using your phone to take pictures of all the little things, you know, the letting the dog out and the things that seem like they don't matter, but they do matter. And I mean, you think about the dog example when your pet's no longer around, or, you know, something were to happen and your kids weren't fighting in the other room. Those are really the things you are grateful for and you don't realize it. But it's hard to pull back, and it's hard to kind of step back and look at that in a way that you can evaluate.
And how do you go out? And we're sitting here stretching the definition of giving. So normally, if we're going to be giving, we're giving in an exchange. So we're not only living in an entitlement type of a mentality. Every time we give, we're saying, we better get something back for that. Because the person on the other side is also participating in this exchange, right? So this is kind of becoming like this definition we threw out there is a big mountain to climb, isn't it? I mean, right? How do you enter the world giving without any conditions when we've, like you say, we have an entitlement attitude and everybody else out there is wanting something for us, from us, right? So it makes it, but every great journey starts with the first step, right?
It certainly does. But then that brings in the authenticity.
Go ahead.
Mind quality, the honesty mind quality. If you're looking at it, you're not keeping account of what you're getting in return. If you could look at the tally and say it really doesn't matter, but then you see it for what it is in a real sense, in a raw sense.
Yeah.
And like you say, you discern between what's, you know, because you said it's not unlimited like goodwill. Generosity isn't
We certainly couldn't approach it in a way right now, given where we are.
If you're looking for something in return, my God, that'd be exhausting.
Well, that's the whole problem is it takes a lot of energy to go out there and trade with everybody all the time, doesn't it? I mean, I find it exhausting.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is, what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
All right, well, we're back.
Get that break out of the way.
Whether what a force break, whether we wanted it or not, but that
it
let us regroup.
It's actually a good spot to do it. And before we get, again, lastly into the body of the interview, let's just kind of wrap up this definition, because if we're going to try to use this, it was kind of a dose of reality, to use your sense. Everybody's here authentically really realizing that we spend most of our life expecting things, right? General consensus out of the four of us?
Yeah.
We're all entitled, and we don't feel good about it. I guess generally speaking, aren't you either giving or taking? There's like no in-between. Aren't there basically two choices for us?
I'd say yes.
You're either a receiver or you're a giver. Point, so I guess we're doing more receiving in our life than we are giving. Anybody feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
I see some nods, yeah.
Correct.
So we're going to have to get our hands around this, because I think there's also the wisdom in the room that says, or at least I've had the experience, giving feels good.
It does. It really does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we do more of it?
Yeah. See, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it?
Well, I think the reason we don't, because is everybody is not playing for the game, and it's very difficult to start a journey on our own. And getting back to the plug for admirable friends, if we're going to sit here and talk around the table, we've got to devise a plan to start. Because I know it feels good, and I know, at least in my experience, when I give, I have a much bigger mind, a more expansive mind. When I'm asking for things, my mind closed down. You guys ever feel that?
Well, I think you also need to be around admirable friends, because otherwise there is, and like Buddy, I kind of offline talked to you about this, the question of almost an internal paranoia of when someone is being generous, do they want something from me?
Right.
And to get past that, because that will really kind of ruin the whole spirit of it. If when someone's going out of their way to do something nice, you're wondering what favor they're about to ask me for.
Right.
Rather than really enjoying the spirit of giving.
So it's a trust issue. You don't
it's definitely trust
those relationships,
issue.
And as a result, it's hard to get started under this new basis. So I guess that's the greatest plug we could ask for the whole concept of admirable friends, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
That this is how it starts. So again, the definition is either tangible or intangible. Some examples of some intangible gifts that we take for granted. I just want to bring these up. Justice or treating people fairly, that is a gift, right? Safety and non-harming, when you don't harm anyone and you provide them safety, that's a gift.
Helpfulness,
when you're being helpful.
Knowledge
is a gift.
Forgiveness
is a gift.
I don't think that always comes up on the radar of people when they think of forgiveness as being,
no,
you know, a generous act, but clearly, when you talk about it in that context, it is.
It is, unless you hear the, I'm forgiving, but I'm not forgetting. What the hell's that all about?
Well, it's also a generous act to yourself, because you're relieving yourself of this burden of carrying around a grudge by... If you truly forgive, yes.
What about when someone says, I'm forgiving, but I'm not forgetting?
Well, that's full, so...
That's not forgiving.
You know,
yeah, that's not forgiving.
That's not forgiving? Okay.
That's like taking a stab at you.
It's like a truce, maybe.
All right. Carol, same way with you.
Putting
forgiving and not forgetting is...
That's half-assed. Yeah, that's not
easy. Easy.
Oh, this is family. Cover the kids' ears.
The boys thought I had Tourette's. Okay, thoughts of kindness towards us and others. There's your goodwill. That's a gift. Okay, so we've got these things we can start with. If we're, you know, if we don't want to give away all of our wealth as a starting point, right, towards recovering from our entitlement attitude. And let's just talk generally again, before we get to the body of our personal storylines, how do you guys feel when you're giving? What does that feel like? Give me your feelers, your woman. What does it feel like when you give? Truly give.
For me, it feels like my heart is full.
Ah, that's what I was looking for.
Yes, I concur with that. That's it. It's very full, kind of full feeling.
Full feel. Okay.
I feel it's a sense of purpose. That when you're giving, you have a role, and that that gift is your purpose.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I look at it as a statement of that I'm full, but not so much from a heartfelt response, that I'm full in as much as I've got everything I need. You know, so I'm giving it to you. I'm not a needy person when I give, right? So when I give without condition, I feel like...
So it's sort of like that internal wealth that you're just sort of giving away?
Yeah, I'm not needy. I'm not needy, and it's the opposite of that feeling I think we're talking about. That entitlement feeling is...
You can't have
that
enough.
Shamey feeling that you just can't put your finger on. It's like... you know it's not right down deep, but you got to get your two cents in because everybody else is getting theirs, right? So, but when all of a sudden you go the opposite way, those one or two times where you do something to brighten someone's day or you truly give without asking anything in return, it's a reminder to me of the a feeling that I've got everything I need right here. I don't need any more. And it would seem to me that the more you would do that, the more you would feel that way. And I would think that would be the most self-secure position you could be, right? If you didn't need anything, you had everything right here, you would be fulfilled, right? No regrets. So that's where I feel. Okay, so we've got a new definition, and we're going to expand it to unconditional. And that pretty much covers it. So let's get into the interview questions. And the interview questions, who wants to go up first? Volunteers, please.
I will go.
Okay. Gabby, where have you exercised generosity in your life? Well, you gave us one great example.
Well, based on a new definition where I don't expect anything in return.
Yes.
I feel like, well, I've only recognized through my actions of true generosity is only when I'm helping someone in need. Like if someone needs something and I'm able to just give it to them and help them with it. You know, I don't ask for anything in return. You know, that's just me giving whatever I have to them, whether it be anything, whether they're sick and I need to help or run an errand, whatever it is when someone is in need.
Truly in need. So you've seen that they're in need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's interesting. So it's easier for you to give when you perceive somebody is in need versus somebody who appears to have everything they need. That doesn't motivate you to give as much as a needy person.
That's right.
Interesting. Okay. And where has a lack of generosity, which would be called greed, caused stress in your life?
I would say everywhere based on this definition. You know, like you said, we've been conditioned to really look at, you know, like Kate said, you know, when people are nice to you, you think that it's because they want something back from you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very hard to build those relationships. You know, I have very few friends and they're my admirable friends because I don't trust people. I feel like my years in living, you know, and through relationships, I felt always used and always there was always something, you know, the other shoe was going to drop. Oh, I'm doing this, but can you do this for me?
Mm.
And so you put up those barriers through your relationships in your life, and then you've conditioned yourself to really look out for those things.
So you've got this preconceived notion, I've got to watch myself. It's a dirt, mm-hmm. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Yeah. I mean, that's a total true assessment of the way things are. I'm glad you captured that, Gabby, and I got to believe all our listeners are nodding there and can associate with that. I also, you know, part of that question is, where is a lack of generosity cause stress? And do you see the connection with the stress in your life? Is that lack of generosity? And where do you see that connection? Is it the extra work it takes?
I'd say the extra work that it takes, because you're always second guessing. That's a lot of emotional work in your head. That's stress. It's a lot of extra steps in your head.
It's energy.
It's energy all the time. You know, if someone, you know, is really nice to you, then you start thinking, okay, do they need something from me? Do I have to wait for the other shoe to drop? What's going to happen? And so, like she said, you don't enjoy that moment. And, you know, it's a lot of extra energy. I think wasteful energy.
Okay, well, I'm gonna wait for the last question on how to apply it to generosity and practicing self-development for a roundtable discussion we'll have at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have each one of you go through. Kate, where have you exercised generosity in your life?
Well, when I was looking at this question, I thought about what my strengths are, and a couple of my strengths really, really came up to the surface, those being restorative, empathy, and harmony. And I know that I exercise my generosity very often by comforting others who are dealing with the stresses of life, whether it's a kid that is not doing their homework and not doing well in school and driving mom crazy, or a romantic relationship or a boss or those sorts of things. I'm often the sounding board that helps bring peace to my friends in that aspect. And that makes me feel good to help them feel better with whatever they're going through. So I would say that is how I practice my generosity. And to kind of elaborate on the lack with what Gabby said, is I actually find I don't like asking for help so often. I will prefer to pay someone I do not know to come to my house and do something that I very easily could have asked a friend to do. And this happened actually quite recently with an electrician. I'm not gifted with electricity. And I actually felt later that I got ripped off. But I didn't want to ask a friend to do it because I didn't know if then I would owe them something and what that would be. And my profession, being an attorney, I find that oftentimes people ask me for favors that are related to my job and want me to write demand letters or things like that for them.
For your attorney.
And that makes me very uncomfortable. And since I don't like confrontation, I don't even want to deal with that.
So you're basically bypass.
I'm trying to bypass it completely. Yeah, and it causes a huge amount of stress for me because it means I've got to take off work and I've got to make sure that the dog doesn't get the repairman and I've got to, you know, orchestrate all of this stuff when I could just ask a friend for help and I don't. And then even with the electrician example, and then I felt like I got ripped off and then I was like angry at myself that I even let that happen. And should I have shopped around? And I had all of these questions and should-haves. And as you can just tell from this example, so much energy got mm-hmm. wasted because I was having trust issues on if I asked a friend to do this, would I owe them something?
Wow. Okay, so to recap, sounds like you're giving. You're dipping your toe in the water with the unconditional, even the new definition. You're doing would be the helpfulness
mm-hmm.
side of the intangible that you give. And in terms of where it's caused, where greed, so you're deeming your greed as your awareness, well, you're basically saying, in a way, you're being greedy because you're not going to give anybody anything. You're just going to sit the hell out of this whole economy. You're going to err on the side.
I'm going to monetize
risk
and because I know with money, and I know that if I don't have an actual relationship with someone and I hire someone to do something, it's easier for me to navigate the waters.
Interesting. Carol, where's your generosity?
Well, I can...
By the way, I like how Kate used her strengths to...
Yes, and I was going to say that, like Kate, I have the empathy and the harmony. So a lot of my generosity is, you know, putting myself in somebody else's shoes and saying, you know, I would like that. If I were in their position, I would like that done for me. So I kind of do that with the comforting thing and as well. I find that it's easier for me to give up generosity in the form of verbiage and words that gets me in less trouble and less sticking points than an action.
So would you mean comforting words? Or?
Yes, you know, just words of comfort. Or
Are they a benefit to somebody, or are they helping you with your harm?
No, they're a benefit to somebody. I find that the generous, it's more of a verbiage thing where it doesn't give me the stress coming back.
Okay.
Because if I say a kind word to somebody, I don't expect them to give me a kind word in, you know.
So it's truly the gift under the new definition.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
So
where I'm getting caught up now, if you're going to ask me
the other side of the
two,
question, where's the stress?
Is the stress comes when I do an action.
Okay.
For some reason with the action, I'm looking for the reciprocating.
Oh, so
it's my wanting.
Your words are free, but your actions, you want the payback.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. An example would be what? Neighbor asks you to take out the garbage. You take out the garbage for them 5 times in a row. And
right. And then if I ever need anything, it's you call them up and they're answering the phone like with a big huff, like they barely have time to answer the phone. And yeah, you know, I'm so busy, even before you get that, I'd like to ask a favor, that you don't even ask it because they've already given that aura.
Can't you associate with Kate's thing? Like, I've heard you in our relationship turn around and say, I'm not even, you know, expecting anything back. Or aren't you concerned that, I guess not. You're not afraid to give anything. You're just expecting something back. And what happens when you expect something back? How does that manifest itself?
Is disappointment.
Do you get anxious?
Angry
at them down deep, or resentment? Any ill will?
I think more disappointment. It's. I guess because, well, I shouldn't
well,
say, I don't say
there's
a big deal.
So you want fairness.
Right. I mean.
You want fairness in your treatment, right?
So I think the actions and words thing is an interesting differentiation too, because actually actions are easier to scorecard as opposed to words. Whereas with words, you're comforting someone, you're seeing it from their side. It's less it's less tangible.
Yeah.
Then actions tend to lead themselves more towards a tally system, and I think with that sort of thing, you run more of a risk of a confronting situation. And when there's a confrontation, then you know, oh, I did these things for you and you did nothing back and you're left to face it. Whereas...
Yeah, but see, I don't go for confrontation, so I'll just follow
and
be
right.
resentful.
I don't either.
I'd rather carry the resentment than voice the concern.
Right.
So
avoid the confrontation.
Absolutely.
Now, Gabby, you're not afraid of confrontation.
No. I'll just tell you I don't like you and move on with my life.
So, you what? Rip them a new one and chalk that up to a broken relationship? Or how do you deal with it when you don't get your fair share?
I just distance myself from them. I just cut them off.
Like,
well, there you go.
I just axe them off and, like, just, you know, like an old pair of shoes, you know, gave you blisters, throw them out.
This is a bad investment.
Bad investment.
I'm a lot like Gabby. It's amazing. You know, we're that way, and you guys are more the aversion type. You're more like, you're going to go underground with the whole thing. You're going to, you probably don't have any resentment from. You just cut them off and forget.
Cut them off and I forget.
I do too.
Or I'll give more chances. I'll think that.
I'm
not a
quick learner.
Over and over.
I can't even associate. You call me like I'm from Mars here. What do you mean you give them another chance? Because I would never give them another chance. No chance. What do you mean?
This I learned from my mother.
Okay.
Who always says, well, maybe this time it'll be different, which is, yes, the definition of insanity. But but I often find, and actually Katie, who I mentioned earlier in my gratitude, is often voice of reason for me to remind me of how things have turned out in the past when I have done something, you know, not, taken a favor from somebody and then it ends up being some sort of reciprocation.
This is like not selling the sinking stock. You're waiting for the stock to turn around.
Right.
Where can I take our losses? So stop. You're actually waiting for the
I have faith.
How many times does that work out for you?
It doesn't ever work out. But
it makes us look right, but you know, Gabby, we got resentment with our way too. You know, we just gotta think a little deeper about
probably.
It.
Probably.
Because it's always a mirror, you know. Every time I like Carol and I are opposites, and every time like I think I got one over in here, like my personality is better than hers. It always is it's a flip side.
Apparently, it is the restorative strength. When I sat in on a strength fighter, that is the raw side of the restorative strength, is that we tend to think that things that are broken can be fixed when they can't.
Yeah, you can refix anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hopeless romance.
It's the
broken is broken.
Sometimes broken is broken.
Caroline,
hey,
you're nodding your head a lot.
I have restorative too, and that's what it says.
Well, I do. I'm like the hopeless romantic or the, you know, the punch happy drunk. I mean, I'm thinking
sometimes you'll turn around.
Sometimes I think if I just give it more time, maybe it's, you know, maybe I'm just not being fair. You know, maybe they
had a bad day. Maybe
yeah.
Something was going on with them. I mean,
yeah, a whole lot of stuff going on. But I think that's the empathy thing, because you're thinking, well, I've had a bad day, and if, you know, we cut them some slack, and, you know, so there you go. The whole narrative starts playing in your head.
Whoa.
I know.
So there's a cause of stress that we didn't identify the first time we got the interview questions. So there's an aspect of the giving side of things that you are not, you mentioned that you were kind of bypassing the whole economy of exchange, but you're really not. You're kind of like still giving and hoping they'll give it back to you. So you're bypassing, but you're not. There's still that hope that there's something coming back.
Whenever I find a way that I can bypass, I will bypass.
It's selective, though. I'm still trying to figure out on what terms or person or personalities do I give that free pass and those that I don't, kind of thing.
So, Gabby, we're warriors, essentially. We go out there and we try to kill everybody.
only if they try to kill us first. Let's be sure.
You know that's the rules of the game going in. You know it's a war before we even start, let's be honest, okay? So we go out there and it's screw the other guy before he screws you. Is that about the way it is?
Something like that.
Something like that, right? So we know it's a war.
Or protect. Protect yourself rather than actively trying to
cover ourselves, right? But it's all so ugly, isn't it, the more we talk about this? It makes you feel dirty when you think of it, because none of it produces that kind of, when Gabby said, what does it make you feel? That fullness, that good fullness. None of it makes you feel good. None of it makes you feel...
Well, if according to what we've been saying, that everything we do is for pleasure,
sick pleasure.
There's some twisted little thing going on.
Well, of course. It's the short-term gain of all of this. I mean, Gabby, you have your wins. I have my wins. I fail to see the wins in your two. So what's the win in your deal when you go out there? It just seems like you are, both of you are losing and allowing other people to win and holding resentment for it.
Well, I don't know. For me, it just seems like the act of giving is the impetus, you know, the start, the whole thing.
So are you guys saying you'll give more, it'll eventually be rewarded? It'll, like a tombstone, you'll definitely.
So mine, I don't hold.
Is it a saint mentality? Is that what it is? That you'll be canonized?
I think.
Is that possible?
Wait a minute.
I agree with you. Is that possible?
Canonization was possible. You mean this could be?
Okay.
Okay.
So Gabby and my deal with the dead bodies, the guilt and remorse we feel for taking more than our share, right? In your case, you're feeling lousy because you never got your share, in a way.
Or could it be something as simple as not giving enough, like thinking I can never give enough, or maybe I should give more, like I didn't do enough?
So I have a kind of sick and twisted way that I approach life.
Share.
share. So I, which I've in my contemplation, have figured out what this is. And this has confused many of my friends for many years. My undergraduate degrees are in philosophy and religious studies, and I've definitely focus a lot of time on what life means. And I do think I want to prove the hypothesis that the human condition is flawed and there's something wrong with it. So every time I lose, I'm right.
Wow.
Every time you lose.
You're right.
You're right.
So, it's
so if I'm trying to prove the world is screwed up, every time I am on the losing end of something, I've just proven my hypothesis that, see, look, the world is screwed up.
Yeah. So this whole idea of reliable happiness and admirable friendship, where does it fit in?
The hypothesis is wrong. It's not making me happy. So I need to, but
change.
But that's so, the pl- it, that's it, that's my problem is that I have this.
This must be a wild card, this whole thing. Is that what it is?
Sort
of. Yeah. So we're kind of testing your friends. That's interesting now. That's an interesting thing. No, I can totally see that. The logic of a lawyer.
Well, I think I found myself sucked
into the evidence to support you.
Right, I found myself sucked into the news, the 24-hour stuff. That's all the world's horrible. The world's horrible. And in some sort of weird way, I'm like, yeah, see, oh look, we got Ebola. See, I mean, and that's not
we deserved it.
It's not right, but that's because I don't have the resentment. I'm not angry. And a lot of times, I almost wish I was angry. Like, shouldn't I be angry about something? Rather than this sort of, and actually with the other form of Buddhism that I previously studied with, part of the reason that I kept my distance from that is because there was really a teaching of just lay down and take it. And I, through reflection, realized that wasn't good for me. All that was doing was feeding this sort of be a victim, don't be angry, let horrible things happen and just be okay with it. And I knew that wasn't right for me, so...
Well, this whole idea of admirable friends suggests that we can be happy. You understand that.
Right.
That's what that reliable
That's why I'm here.
Good. Well, and let's, you know, and I do believe that we can be, no matter which way we're approaching it, because it's really half empty, half full, you know. It seems like Gabby and I are the desirous types, and you guys are the aversion types, you know. I was once told that you really kind of, there's three kinds of people, and you're, the story is when you walk into a room with a friend who just invited you over to see their new apartment after it had been decorating. They asked you to come over and comment on the apartment. So Gabby and I would typically walk in and we'd look at the decorations and would see the possibilities. Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they decorate it this way? You guys would say, I don't like this. I don't like
that. I would invite you over.
Yeah. And then the third, so that's the aversion type, and the greedy type is looking for what the possible, they want more.
Mm-hmm.
The aversion type says, I don't like. So it's a likes and dislike. And then the deluded type says, what's for dinner? Doesn't even notice what's on the walls for decorations. And so there's, I don't think any of us fall in the deluded category per se, or at least at any given moment we can be deluded. So we just approach it half empty, half full.
Well, I don't want to run out of time before we decide, you know, what's the call to action.
That's what I'm kind of laying the backdrop for that. We do, how do you bring this into your life? How do you guys bring this into your life? We know it's the right thing to do. I like what Kate said, and I want to bring that back into the solution. We've got to surround ourselves with admirable friends. Kate, you've used the journaling I designed.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been working for you?
I very much enjoy it. It's really helped me to think through the process rather than and to look for action items on how to turn an unskillful action around.
Right.
And that's part of, like I just said, about what it, me finding the allure of things. You know, why do I, in some weird way, like to be a victim? Well, that's some sort of...
So piece by piece, you have a tool that's actually eating way through this.
Yes.
So you're almost disproving your kind of worldview.
Well, that's the hope, yeah.
That's the hope. Carol, how do you bring it to your life?
Well, I'd like to think that I'm getting better at putting it into perspective, looking at it in a broader picture, like knowing that it's going to bring me stress if I look for the exchange. But I can't stop doing it. I think I've been bitten in years gone by, but I keep saying to myself, that doesn't change my giving. You know, I'm a giving person, and that's not going to change. I could be better at it, And that's what my hope is, that I'll...
How many of you think that just this discussion alone is part of the therapy that we're having here tonight, is part of the process of change? Just talking about
it. Oh, definitely. If it becomes top of mind, I mean, it's almost like psychological priming. Once you've thought about it, then you see it.
Right. And because getting back to the philosophy, I don't find these conversations happening in everyday friendship. You know, the kind of stuff we just discussed here on the radio tonight is not something that we're discussing every day with friends, right? So my theory is, if you're not talking about it, how's it ever going to get fixed?
Right.
Unless you have this open and honest conversation. Gab, yes. Have you got any ideas on how to introduce this this form of giving and what it could do and how you might
introduce
it?
For me, this exercise, like I told you earlier, was the toughest thing I'd had to do.
Just preparing for the show tonight,
yes,
the questions I gave you.
It was. It was very difficult. Because
so
I don't,
you had to come
because
face
I shut
to face.
Myself out so much that I don't put myself in that situation. So for me, it's going to be baby steps, you know, small things.
Is the exercise helpful? Was
yes,
it helpful?
Absolutely.
And in my case, I'm going to go to the meditation as the tool that I use because you can't, I can't have success in learning that skill without giving. You know, essentially every time you sit down, you have to show respect and you have to give, and you, or else it's going to be a very painful effort. Being, at least in my case, sitting alone for an hour is going to be a mess unless I learn how to give of myself and prepare for it and turn myself around. And it clears the mind to have this conversation and begin to be honest about the intentions of the past that I've made, the bad choices I've made, the greedy choices I've made, and the hope for a better world, a more reliable happiness is really strong. And I'm kind of futuristic, so I see that as a real possibility. If I can be happy one moment, I can be happy for a lifetime, the way I see it, reliably happy. And I see that as an inner quality. There's nothing you could give me now financially that would make me happy. Make me happy for a moment, of course, but I'm saying it would not satisfy me. The satisfaction has to come from within, and it's baby steps, like you said, Cap. We got to take one step at a time and begin to behave our way out of what we behaved ourselves into. I just don't know how any of these self-help programs that work all on the positive side ever think that people are going to get better without working through their mistakes. Yeah. When a lot of times these positive
the
people
lessons
look at me,
usually in the mistake.
It isn't. I mean, everything I've learned in life has come from my mistakes. So a lot of the times I'm in these self discussions with people, and it's a real like a positive psychology, and everybody's juiced up. They see me as Debbie Downer because I want to talk about mistakes. And I, for the life of me, do you guys see it that way? Unless you work through your mistakes, your past, how are you ever going to fix anything without taking that responsibility? In any case. This was great. Great discussion. It'll be interesting to hear this on tape because we have no idea what we just said.
No.
It's just like sitting around having coffee and a conversation.
And it flew right by.
Oh, God. Did it ever. In any case, we're going to have to say goodnight. Thanks so much, Gabby and Kate, for joining
yes.
us tonight.
Thank you. That was a
pleasure.
Thank you.
It was, fun.
Great information. And Hello at admirablefriends.org for any questions. And any of you that want to come on the show next, please let us know.
Kate, it wasn't that scary, was it? Tell
no, me. It was not that scary.
No big deal.
Good night, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.